and the shot blocked, and it's all over. The Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup champions.
Jamming Sunday morning. It's already here again, man. And yes, as you heard in the highlight, Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Took them 44 years. They went to the Cup Finals once, I believe, back in 97-98, and the Detroit Red Wings took them out. That was before the Alexander Ovechkin days. That was back when they had Ole the Goalie, Mags, probably before you were even thinking about the sport of hockey. But Oleg Kolzig was the goalie for the Washington Capitals back when they played their only Stanley Cup. And Peter Bondra was probably their best player, not quite Alex Ovechkin.
No, and I do remember that team. Of course, I never could have imagined 20 years ago that I would have been present when they won their first Stanley Cup or... covering it from the perspective that I got to, but that team, they were swept in the Stanley Cup Finals, so a lot of people didn't realize
the Red Army beat them.
The Red Wings just destroyed them. I mean, that team was unbeatable. However, that Red Wings team did lose to my Devils in 1995.
Don't remind me. I went to every game and just they killed the Devils. Martin Brodeur was absolutely a wall between the pipes, and that Devils team was tough, man.
The highlight for me as a Devils fan, they did win three Stanley Cups, but for me the highlight was a little known guy named Jim Dowd, who grew up in Ocean County, New Jersey, the town right next to me, played high school hockey at the high school in the town next to me, scored the winning goal in game two. He lived on the same street as my cousin, and we got his number out of the phone book because somehow he was listed.
That's crazy.
And we called his house, and we told him how much we loved him, and I was at a party. I'll never forget. I mean, it was one of those things. I was probably 15 or 16 years old, and to watch the Devils win the Stanley Cup and beat a team that was heavily favored like the Detroit Red Wings, and not only did they just beat them, but they won pretty easily.
It was handedly. Yeah, it wasn't even a series. And it was so surprising, too, because the Detroit Red Wings, if I'm not mistaken, won the President's Cup that year.
I think they did. Yeah, they looked unbeatable.
And New Jersey just said no. But, again, you talk about a hot goaltender, and New Jersey had a lot more than just Martin Brodeur. But that guy between the pipes in that Stanley Cup Finals was impermeable. And, the Red Wings had absolutely a high-powered, high-octane offense, and they just could not get the puck past the guy.
But you know what? I'd say it worked out pretty well for that group of guys who played with the Red Wings. They won a couple of Stanley Cups in the process, built a dynasty, and
I got no issues, man.
Arguably, the greatest hockey we've seen played in the last 30 years was probably from those Red Wings teams because they were just so dominant, and they had the best goalie, arguably. And you know what? Hasek won't ever get notice as the greatest goalie.
Oh, I think he will. I think that Olympic team when he won the gold medal for the Czechoslovakian team. Oh my goodness! But I mean, that changed the country, man.
You know, when you hear the discussion, you hear Wah, you hear Brodeur, and personally, I think Martin Brodeur is the best goalie I've ever seen. I think he is better than Patrick Wah. However, Dominik Hasek, for that one stretch when he was with the Red Wings, even when he was with the Sabres, I mean, he took that Sabres team to a Stanley Cup final where they were screwed. But
he was as good as anybody I've ever seen.
He was arguably that one stretch of 5 years or whatever, he was arguably the best goalie the world has ever seen.
Right there with Tretiak, goalies like that, Kenny Dryden. I mean, there's no doubt that Dominik Hasek, I got to watch him in Detroit late in his career, and he was still as dominating as ever, no pun intended. Marc-Andre Fleury-esque, so to speak, when he came to Detroit. I mean, we knew in Detroit as fans that we had something special when we got him, and we definitely saw the team drinking from the cup again. Listen, let's do what's on tap, man. Let's hit that, then I'll give you the numbers.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Peaceway. It's a great way to watch every single game. And first, I want to make sure I give you the number. Please, by all means, if you've got something to say, we're talking about the Golden Knights today, give us a call. The studio line is 702. It is 876-1340. So pick up the phone. Give us a call anytime. We'll try to get you in today. Me and Mags here, Jose Valonte, who's been helping me out regularly, big part of the show, is not here today, probably driving back from, I think it's Riverside, California, where he went to visit his family.
Yeah, so he was looking for a haircut.
Yeah, he was looking for a haircut yesterday, going to some party.
He's got such nice hair. Why does he need a haircut? Oh,
brother, I'm jealous, believe me. When somebody's got flowing hair like that. He keeps it nice and tight anyways. But Jose Valonte, you hear him at Straight Bet Sports, man. Great guy, helps us out here today. Sean is helping us out here today, Mags. And I don't know if you heard about this yet, but What's on Tap is a portion of my beard is getting shaved off right here today. We brought in a bucket, a razor. I lost a wager. I was so sure behind the scenes that the Golden Knights were going to win Game 5. I've got a very good buddy, literally born in Washington, D.C. I bet that's probably him, because I know he wants to call and give me grief. And we decided, is that him? Is that Kenny by any chance? Yeah, I figured he'd call in, man, because a lot of grief leading up to the game, going back and forth. Kenny, born in Washington, D.C., and lived in Vegas for a while. I met him out here through a very good friend of mine, and it's crazy, but here we end up in the Stanley Cup Finals playing the Washington Capitals, a dream come true for a guy that's a Washington Capitol fan that lived in Vegas for a while. That would be like, for me, the Red Wings playing the Washington Capitals. And by the way, I want to get that straight for everyone out there that has questioned my loyalty. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this emphatically, and I mean it with all my heart. I am pulling every year from this point forward for the Golden Knights to play the Detroit Red Wings in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And for those of you that don't put two and two together real quickly, one is in the Western Conference and one is in the Eastern Conference, which means if they played every year, that would have to be in the Stanley Cup final. And for me, that's going to be a dream come true. And then you will find out where my loyalty lies. I don't have to say a thing until that point. Kenny, what's up, brother? Welcome to the show, man.
Brian, I can't wait to watch you on Facebook shaving that beard. I am looking forward to that. You don't even know.
I knew you'd call in, brother. I knew based on before I'd hear from you today during the show. And, yeah, I am going to shave the beard. We're going to get it going during probably the first commercial break here in a little while. Right now, just kicking things off, talking about the Stanley Cup final. And as a matter of fact, we didn't get to do this. I just, you know, real quickly, Kenny, because we were finishing up One Tap, or I should say What's on Tap. So let me wrap this up right now, because What's on Tap today, real quickly, is, of course, I'm in studio. I've got Chris Magnum Chapman, producer extraordinaire, man. You heard Chris all year. Really helped educate the Las Vegas audience on hockey. He was one of those guys helping Frank Harnish out with his show, producing that a lot. Always part of the game day broadcasts, locker room interviews, man. And Chris learned a lot about hockey, but so did the Vegas audience, and he helped them do that while he was educating himself, because man, we just haven't had a team out here forever. There's been no pro team. So What's on Tap also today, Bernie Fratto is going to be coming up a little bit later on in the show. He'll talk about the Stanley Cup final, as well as a little bit about the NBA final, which was about as unentertaining as anything I've ever seen other than Game 1. We'll talk about that down the road as well. And we've got some interviews that I can't wait to get to. Mags talked to Nate Schmidt after the Stanley Cup championship was over with, and I got a chance on the ice right after the game to spend some time with TJ Oshie, and I ended up liking the guy a lot. You'll like the interview, Kenny. It's on our Facebook Live page from post-game, but we'll be doing that as well. What's on Tap, by the way, is brought to you by Bubby's University. You can earn your degree and food, draft beer, gaming, the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID. Your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day, and that means they do never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai. Between Tropicana, Flamingo, you can go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. Mags, go ahead and roll that. Roll the goals, man. This was the end of, last Thursday night, what we got to experience, and kind of the cliff notes.
Now left wing, Braun is in, he shoots, he scores! Breakaway goal. Toronto makes it 1-0 for Washington. Washington. Marchessault is there, pivots away from pressure, helped out down low, feed to the right side, and Schmidt, top of the circle, shoots, tip top! Jonathan Marchessault got a piece of it in front after the shot from Nate Schmidt on the right side. Knights have tied it 1-1. Handled there by Backstrom to the left, and a shot, they score! Ovechkin on the left wing, and it's 2-1 Capitals. Juice shoving Perron, pushes him into the goal, and the puck into the goal! They say it counts! A shot from Tatar with Perron in the net with the puck. Power play at 20 seconds. Left point, shovel shot save. Rebound in front, tuck to the left, and a shot! They score! It's Riley Smith, and the Knights take the lead 3-2! Power play goal, and a fracas behind the net! Capitals get it in. Puck from the left corner out to the left point. Orpik, puck down low, and they score! Feed right side. Connolly shooting, and a shot! Score! The rebound! Eller puts it home, and the Caps take a 4-3 lead in Game 5. 7:37 to play.
That would be the final tally, and the Capitals win the Stanley Cup 4-3 by that very score. 7 goals. You heard them all in sequence there. And, I mean, you know, I know how you feel, Kenny. I have suffered with Detroit franchises for a long time. It was a long time before the Red Wings in my lifetime finally got over the hump and won the Stanley Cup. They won 4 altogether in my lifetime. I'm pretty content with that and have played in a lot more. My Detroit Lions, I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl before I leave this planet. But 44 years later, your Washington Capitals got a Stanley Cup. What's the most thrilling thing for you, man?
I can't even describe it. I watched the game with my youngest brother, who has also been a longtime fan, and we have suffered through years, specifically, as you know, because I know you've talked about this, the last 10, 12 years, Capitals have actually been pretty good, and they have just choked year after year after year, and finally this year, I don't know, something changed. It was just great to see that attitude change on the ice, and when we got to the finals, you could just see it in Ovechkin's eyes. I knew. And that's why I made that bet with you. And by the way, just to switch over for just a minute, I am concerned a little bit about your health because you haven't shaved for a while. So you may want to have Shauna use a Lady Bic razor. Just saying.
No. We're going with a shear clipper right now for these things, something you can take care of sheep with. And, you know, I got to tell you, watching you know, these games and especially these finals, I knew Ovechkin was good. You know, but what's amazing is for 13-plus years, we have watched this guy spend his time either to the right or to the left of the opposing goaltender, standing there on what most people call is basically the doorstep. And no matter what, and the fact that everybody knows that is his patented place to be, nobody can change it, and he's made a living there, and he has scored an unbelievable amount of goals in so many incredible different ways. But what is it about this guy? You've watched him grow up. I mean, you've been a huge Capital fan forever. What's it about this guy that makes him so damn special?
Well, obviously, he's got the physical talent. But this year, I think the difference was his mental state. He really, really changed. I think he grew up. And I don't want to steal any of Ovechkin's thunder, but I thought Kuznetsov really should have won the MVP. He had an unbelievable playoff. And let's not forget... The pickup from New Jersey, this guy ended up only getting 7 goals in the regular season and ended up all of a sudden, boom, just takes off in the playoff with 7 goals. Yeah. Not only then, Devontae Smith-Kelly. What are your thoughts about him?
Oh, Devontae Smith-Kelly was ridiculous. You know, he was basically the Mike Jones. And I'm making a long ago referral to the year 2000 when the St. Louis Rams won the Super Bowl and Mike Jones made that tackle on the year on the 1.5-yard line to save the Super Bowl for the Rams. Just an unsung hero, a guy you wouldn't expect to be the guy that would turn out to be a star. Devontae Smith-Pelly was unbelievable in the series. He scores not just in the series, in the playoffs in general, but he scored in the final 3 games of the Stanley Cup final. And in total, he scored 7 goals in the playoffs. He scored 7 goals all year. I'm wondering, Mags, you tell me, is Devontae Smith-Pelly going to be next year's William Karlsson?
No, he won't be. But the guy, you know, the guy did have a great playoffs. I mean, and you can't take that away. And I, th- You know, I thought it took a lot of courage as well for Devontae Smith-Pelly to come out and say what he said about the Capitals going to the White House. Because let's be honest, he's a guy who really isn't a focal point of that team. And it could have become a distraction. And it didn't. And I think that is probably because a lot of those guys on that team probably feel the same way. But, you know, I the guy stepped up, and he had a great playoffs, and he was a guy I talked to on Media Day, and he was a very friendly guy. But the one thing you pick up right away about Devontae Smith-Pelly, he is a wrecking ball of a human being. He is a big body. He's wide. He kind of reminds me of one of those old-school running backs, like a fullback from back in the NFL days. Not very tall, but just a brick house. And, I mean, he was a likable guy when I talked to him. He was very friendly, very cordial, very nice. And, you know, you never would have expected him to be one of the keys for the Capitals winning that series. I mean, all the goals he scored were big. I mean, especially the one on Wednesday night. I mean, it was Thursday night. I mean, it was a big goal. And, you know, he had the big goal in game three, I think it was, where it was Jay Beagle who played a loose puck behind the net right to Smith-Pelly. But what impressed me the most about that goal that he scored was the play that he made to get that puck past Marc-Andre Fleury on Thursday night. I mean, played it off his skate and then had to, like, kind of dive to get it in.
Yeah, that was a first line
player. He
looked
like Bobby Orr in that famous photograph from the early 70s. He was horizontal, basically.
That's a good. It's a good call, Kenny. You know, without question, that was the skill set of a first line player, not a third line player. And Smith-Pelly played like a first line player through most of it. Two game winning goals throughout the playoffs. This is the statistic that stuck out to me the most. That really has me, had me scratching my head. Mags, did you know this? In the playoffs, Smith-Pelly, go ahead and eat. You don't have to talk on the microphone. I'm just asking if you know this, okay? So finish up whatever he's having, a breakfast bar back there, some peanuts or something. So here's the deal. Smith-Pelly had 29 shots on goal the entire playoffs. He scored 7 goals. That is a shot percentage of 24, a little bit over 24%. Of the shots he took on goal went in the net. That is insane. To me, that is like shooting about 99.5% free throw shooter through the playoffs. I mean, where you miss one free throw throughout the playoffs. That is unbelievable, hitting one quarter of your shots go in the net. And he's not, and these were not shots like Chris just pointed out. It was a great move. I mean, he had to get the puck off his skate, basically dive for it. It's not like these were cherry-picked shots. This guy, they were skill shots and really impressive. So, hey, Kenny, listen, man, got to let you go here. I am going to shave. We're getting ready to go to break in a minute, and Sean is going to be starting the razor up, and you'll get to see it on Facebook Live. So go to my page, enjoy yourself, have fun. I'm making good on my bets. I don't welch. And congratulations, Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you.
You as well, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon. Enjoy the show. That's all I got to say. Never again. Kenny was going to grow a beard. You know his gang, Mags? He had to grow a beard all summer. Start growing it right now for the summer if they wouldn't have won Game 5. That's all that had to happen. They had to win Game 5, the Vegas Golden Knights, and Kenny would have had to start growing a beard. Instead, I have to shave mine in front of everybody.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that Alexander Ovechkin does not shave his beard, because when they come back out here for the NHL award show, I've made it my mission to talk to him. He is the one guy that I want to talk to on the red carpet, because I will be part of the red carpet. He's the one guy, and I'm hoping he doesn't shave, because I want to have a conversation with him about that beard.
Well, that, Mags, it's awesome. And I'll tell you, last thing as we go to break right now. Kenny, thanks again, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Mags, as we go to break, I got to tell him. You know, I got off the ice, and I walk around the corner, and I see Chris standing there, and he's working with his phone a little bit. Just, you know, I think Gerard Gallant, or maybe it was Ovechkin, that just came out of the press conference. But it was so cool. We were standing there, and around the corner, almost like an ESPN commercial. And it's on my Facebook Live. You got a picture of him as well. But here comes Ellis Ovechkin. walking down the hall holding the Stanley Cup. It reminded me of one of those ESPN commercials where, you know, King James is sitting, or Scott Van Pelt is sitting in LeBron James's chair. And you're just kind of like ho-hum walking past Alex Ovechkin with the Stanley Cup.
Well, he saw me fumbling with my phone, and it was like he didn't stop walking, but he walked by, and I took
turned
the picture.
Turned his head and smiled.
And he turned his head and smiled. And, it's cool. Like... He was always one of my favorite players in the league, and you know I'm glad that he was able to win a Stanley Cup. I'm sorry that it came at the expense of the team that plays here. I mean, it would have been just an unbelievable thing to be a part of for the Golden Knights to win this Stanley Cup. But I don't think any Golden Knights fan should be disappointed in any regard, because
oh hell no,
what they
hell
did no. and you know what they did goes deeper than hockey, you know. What happened on October 1st was something that none of us, including those guys, ever could have imagined. And I don't think those guys ever could have imagined that they would have been playing a part, you know, previous to October 1st. I don't think they ever could have imagined that they would have been in a position where they would help a city like Las Vegas heal. But what I found about those guys is the minute that they all found out about it was every single guy in that locker room, every single person in that organization, from Bill Foley down to George McPhee to the equipment guys to the PR people, all they wanted to do was help this city. And honestly, you know, I'm kind of getting watery eyes here a little bit, but those guys, they helped this city in ways I don't think anybody ever could have imagined, because it was a horrible tragedy in the spirits that they lifted up from this city. We have such a sense of community here. And when we hear Nate Schmidt, you know, he'll get a little emotional about it as well, because I talked to him about it. But those guys, every single one of those players, showed that Las Vegas is more than just neon lights and one street. It's a community. It's a city of real people who have real jobs, who go to work, who have families, who love their families. And they showed the world that Las Vegas is more than just Las Vegas Boulevard. We are a real city with a real community and people who love their sports and people who love their hockey team. And, you know, I'm supposed to be unbiased here, but I just want to say thanks to those guys, because they've helped me and they've helped this town in ways that I don't think anybody ever could have imagined.
Oh, I agree 100%, Chris. They helped the NHL in ways that nobody could have imagined. I mean, the West Coast, yeah, they became acclimated to hockey with what the Los Angeles Kings did in the past half decade. But trust me, nothing like this has ever happened. They have transformed the West Coast into hockey fans, and not just hockey fans, Chris, knowledgeable hockey fans. Well, I'm talking to people that actually know what the hell they're talking about, which I promise you, if the Knights wouldn't have done what they did, nobody would have given a crap to the point that they do.
No, and you know, it goes much deeper than that, too, because they embrace the Latino market here.
Absolutely.
Jesus Lopez, a friend of mine, was all over NHL Network. He was all over national media because he was the first Spanish broadcast ever of a Stanley Cup Finals game. Think about that. This is a sport that's been playing for 100 years
now.
And, you know, the NHL just celebrated their 100th anniversary. And my friend, my colleague, my coworker, Jesus Lopez, became the first broadcaster to ever broadcast a Stanley Cup game in Spanish. This team understands the market better than anybody I've ever met. They get this city. Bill Foley knows this city. He's a genius. And, you know, I'm so glad to have been a part of it from day one, when Ballpark Frank came to me and said to me he wanted me to be a part of it to help him out. I couldn't say no to Frank because I love the guy like a brother. And, you know, every single one of these guys that I work with, we all went through something this year, a change in some way. But this team has caused that, you know, and it brought a lot of people together that probably wouldn't know each other. You know, I mean, there's groups on Facebook of Golden Knights fans, and there's just such a sense of community. You know, I haven't seen a lot of people taking their flags down. I still see people wearing their jerseys
Absolutely.
And their hats.
Right here in the studio. Yeah. Look at this, man. I mean, I'm still, Chris, 100%. It is about representing. It is about, you know, how we know Vegas is a very transient state, but yet we are a community, and there's no question. This was magical. There's no other word for it. It was really, really cool. And as you said, all of us honored and blessed to be a part of it, part of history. I know something I'll never, ever forget, going to these games and the goosebumps that I had, the chills that I got watching these guys play at T-Mobile Arena. With all the things that I've been to, and I've been so blessed to cover so many big events, I've never seen anything like this.
Well, and one of the things a lot of the guys stressed to me on Friday when they basically said their goodbyes is how much this city meant to them. And how much the people who came to watch them and support them, even if they didn't come to watch them, just how much the fans meant for them and how they wanted to do this for the fans and for the city. There wasn't one guy who made one comment to me about me or I. It was all about this city. You know, Pierre Edward Belmar, he said to us, his child was born here in Las Vegas. He was the first Golden Knights player to have a child born in Las Vegas. And he said, I'm proud to say that my son was born. I think it's a son. I don't remember. Proud to say that my child was born in Las Vegas. And to me, that says everything. The fact that a guy who grew up in the suburbs of Paris made it to the NHL the hard way, played in one of the hardest cities to play in last year in Philadelphia, and for him to say that he's proud to call Las Vegas home and proud that his child was born in this great city, that says it all.
It's pretty darn cool. Listen, totally time to take a break. We'll talk more about the Golden Knights in a little bit when Bernie Fratto joins the show, about 10 minutes or so. We're going to go to break. On the way to break, you got a chance to talk to Nate Schmidt. And one of the best personalities on this team.
One of my favorite guys. Yeah. He really is.
And not to mention a guy that can bring the puck up the net and put the biscuit in the basket on the defensive end. Pretty strong. And he really embodies what the Vegas Golden Knights are about, is from his personality to his heart. And you got a chance to talk to him. Here that is.
I promise, no hypotheticals, man. Was last night a little, I mean, obviously it's disappointing, but knowing so many guys on the other side of the ice, what's that like for you?
That was a tough thing going through that line. It was hard because, you know, you were there, but I couldn't be happier with where I am, and I wouldn't trade for anything. a few guys that you're happy for, you want to be a good friend, and, you know, a guy that I know, you know, I've been there for a while, and you're happy for what they're doing and what they did. You know, they want it, and being bitter and sour about it isn't going to, you know, really help your integrity at all. And that's a really important thing for me. And I think that, you know, it's when no one's watching. It's when no one's – that's when, you know, when your true colors show through.
And you're you're one of the guys who is the face of the franchise, one of the faces of the franchise. So how much pride do you feel in knowing that you've kind of shown the world that Las Vegas is more than just the neon lights and casinos and artificial palm trees or whatever, and there's a community here, and there's a sense of pride in their sports teams?
I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. That's something that I'm most proud of, you know, from this year, is how we've put the persona of Vegas into a team. And that is a sense of community, a sense of, you know, it's a big city with a small town feel. And you look at it from, you know, from the very beginning on, this is something that, man, you couldn't describe it any better from a community, from us, you know, getting into the, you know, into the city and being able to be a part of this and have the city be, you know, part of us as much as we are with them. That's, like I said, it was a match made in heaven for the way that, you know, for a player to be able to see this. I mean, if you're on the outside looking in, you can see how much fun we had this year and how much the city has been behind us. It's unbelievable. That's what makes it, like I said, that's the reason why we had so much fun this year.
Do you kind of think that this team is kind of indicative of what this city is? Because in reality, the city is made up of people from all over the country, all over the world. And you know, in reality, the city is kind of a misfit city. So, I mean, do you think it's kind of indicative of what this team was?
Absolutely. I think it's... Like I said, that's what's been. Like, you couldn't have, like I said, you could have almost put it together any better than that. I just think that, at the end of the day, you look at, you know, your neighbors, look at your people, and everyone's kind of in the same boat. They're here. I mean, it's people from everywhere, and no one's, you know, it's. And it's. Sorry, just. Yeah, sad for what happened, you know.
Cut the corner, and they're into the stretch, and Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with one furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hoffberg trying to run him down. Vito Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Gronkowski was second, Hoffberg was third, and Vito Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why.
It is time for Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A long slap shot from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every single day. America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports in early football season. I'm up there every Monday night giving away replica jerseys, wing parties, and we have a great time. So definitely put that on your itinerary for this fall. But I got to ask you, and let me know what you think. I mean, that was a hell of a call. And, you know, the race itself was awesome. Larry Kalnis on the call for CBS Sports. But, Mags, tell me something real quickly. Do you think that that was like that he sat home and rehearsed the final call, like down the stretch, if Justify won it, coming up with the cliches? Because there was a lot of justs in there. And I'm like, I could just see him sitting at home to his wife practicing the down the stretch run with Justify.
Well, I'm sure every big broadcaster who's preparing for an event like that has to have some type of preparation. You know, I know I would.
Oh, for sure. I'm not putting it down for it. I'm just saying it was too perfect.
But, you know, I think it's cool. You know, I'm kind of a dork in a way, so I kind of like stuff like that. I mean, if it's over the top like Chris Berman, to me, that, you know, it's just phony. But I think if you listen to that call, he certainly made it cool to listen to. And, you know, it is pretty cool because, you know, I'm 39, and I just missed Seattle SLU winning the Triple Crown, because I believe that was 77. I was born in 79.
Last Triple Crown winner before American Barrel.
Yeah, so we went almost my entire lifetime with having no Triple Crown winners. And now we've had two in the last, what is it, three years?
2015
So it's pretty cool. And, you know, and Justify joined Seattle SLU in being the only Triple Crown winning horse to be undefeated, and that's pretty awesome as well.
He did, man. Bob Baffert, talk about undefeated. Bob Baffert, the only the second multiple Triple Crown winning trainer, and I'm going to say the guy's the best in history. I mean, there have been definitely some good ones, but this guy just knows what he's doing. And how about Mike Smith, 52 years old, and the oldest guy to ever win the Triple Crown, surprise there, keeps himself in great shape, but still getting on a horse at 52 years old and doing what that guy did over the last month and a half is pretty cool. Bob Baffert after the race.
He is just one of the, you know, all-time great horses, and I'm just thankful that we were able to pull it off. You know, it was something that it was fun. I think we enjoyed it probably this last week.
That's all he got, about a week to enjoy it. They were working really hard in this. This horse really came out of nowhere. If you look at the fact that it's only been, what, like 77 days since mid-January that this horse even was brought up, and to go undefeated and do what it did in the Triple Crown is pretty darn impressive. And again, Mike Smith, 52 years old, winning the thing. That's just the greatest ever.
I think he's the greatest of all time. I just won the Triple Crown, man. He's my champion.
Yeah, I'd say he's everyone's champion today, and a Triple Crown winner, second in 3 years. Joining the show right now is Bernie Fratto, a good friend of mine. You hear him all the time, at Bernie Fratto, if you want to follow him on Twitter, and always interesting stuff, always great stories. Bernie, did you get a chance to catch the Belmont? Oh, Bernie's not with us right now. Chris going to try to greet him back on the phone. I want to ask him if he got a chance to catch the Belmont. But just real quick, while Bernie's getting him back on to talk about the Belmont, as you mentioned, Justify, the only horse to the second horse ever to be undefeated and win the Triple Crown. 41 years ago is when Seattle SLU did it, which is pretty incredible. Again, Mike Smith, the oldest to ever win it. And how about Gronkowski, partially owned by Rob Gronkowski, to take second place? That might be the biggest story of the race, because if you were watching it, Gronkowski, the horse, was way back, like in last place, up until they were about the third turn when it started making its move. And pretty cool to see it go from last place to second place. Never really a threat to run Justify down, but pretty cool. Bernie, I think we got you back, right?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Did you get to see the Belmont yesterday?
Oh, yeah. And one of the reasons I think I had special interest is, you know, Justify not only came out of nowhere, but in the three combined races to win the Triple Crown, he had to defeat more horses in the field than any ever horse to do it. What drew me to made sure I watched the race yesterday is just before post time, he was a 3-5 favorite. So I can't remember a prohibitive favorite like that. And he came through.
Yeah, and especially the extra distance, watching the Preakness,
yeah.
I thought, wow, he could get run down in the Belmont. That little bit of extra distance will make the difference. And it's funny because I was talking to some friends about the Belmont just this past week, and typically I always watch the Kentucky Derby every year, like clockwork, and I always watch the Preakness because you're seeing if there can be a Triple Crown winner. If the horse doesn't win both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, a lot of times I'll skip the Belmont. Of course, a lot of interest this year, but twice in 3 years, and that doesn't water down how difficult of a task this is, does it?
Well, I don't think so, because if I'm not mistaken, before 2015, wasn't it 1948, or was it 1978 with the last time there was a Triple
77,
Crown?
77.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't think it waters it down at all, Brian. And besides, so what if it did? You root for the story in sports, and this is a huge story. I think it's good for horse racing. It draws attention to horse racing.
Oh, it does, and especially the mount. I mean, Mike Smith to be 52 years old and win a Triple Crown, that gives all of us old guys things to smile about. Bernie, really quickly transitioning over to the Vegas Golden Knights. I know you were part of this. You watched this phenomena all year long. Your thoughts in the wake of it?
Well, Brian, when the Golden Knights went down 3-1, and it appeared to me that it was a situation where this storybook season was not going to have a storybook ending when you look at the numbers. And we all have reference points and perspectives, and I'm very fortunate to have covered 4 Stanley Cup champion Detroit Red Wing teams. And in 1995, they were supposed to destroy the New Jersey Devils, and the New Jersey Devils showed up with the neutral zone trap, and they swept the Red Wings, and none of us could believe it. And this series started, as we get into, you know, talking about the series itself, I'll talk a little bit about Washington's strategy, but what it brought to light when they went down 3-1 was that this story is even bigger than we realize, because now we have the opportunity to have some distance and look back over the last 8-9 months and 1 year and 2 years, the evolution of the Golden Knights and the incredible amount of work and the incredible amount of effort and cumulative, you know, people coming together to make this thing happen. You scratch your head on the Stanley Cup Finals. And, you know, take the Edmonton Oilers. It took Gretzky and Messier 5 full years to win a cup, and they'd been in the WHA before. And there's a story about Mark Messier holding the cup up and handing it to Wayne Gretzky after they won. He says, you know, Wayne, he goes, this feeling we have now, I really wish everybody we knew could have this feeling. And Gretzky said, yeah, but they can't. And that's why the Stanley Cup is so great. This is incredible, and now that even though in not winning the Cup, we look back and there's sort of a solemn mood at 5 o'clock tonight, there'll maybe be a bit of a void because people would be wanting to watch Game 6, but I think it brings to light, guys, how difficult it was just to get to this point. What an accomplishment.
Oh, man, it's so incredible. Like I said, I'm still in awe of what I saw this year. It's almost unbelievable. You know, yeah, you could say it's a perfect storm, that the expansion draft was set up to benefit the Golden Knights, and I get all of that, but still, to be able to put it together, to be able to mesh this team into a unit that can compete for a Stanley Cup in their inaugural season is absolutely amazing to me, Bernie. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my entire life. I doubt any of us will ever see anything like it, and I think that was the hardest part about it coming to an end for me personally Thursday is just the fact that once it was over, it's over. Talking to people, oh, well, there's next year. Yeah, there's next year, the year after. Who knows what they'll be? Even if they make the same run next year, it's not the inaugural season. It doesn't have the same flavor.
Yeah, you know, thing is, Brian, there will be a next year, and let's talk about, let's have a reference point. The Washington Capitals joined the NHL in 74-75. Their record in their inaugural season was 8-67. We're 1-39 on the road. Now, in their 44 years of frustration, and I covered the 98 Stanley Cup in which the Red Wings swept the Capitals, and I remember George McPhee there and Ole the goalie, the Capitals still made the playoffs 28 times in the last 40 years. So you're going to see the Golden Knights, they're going to be a fixture in the Stanley Cup playoffs. because of the way they're built, the culture they have, and the momentum. And I want to address something you said, because it's a good narrative. People think all of a sudden there's this revisionist history. They had some sort of unfair advantage due to the draft, et cetera. Well, let me remind folks that when they established the 2017 version of the expansion draft, the owners voted 30-0 for this format. It was completely unanimous, and everybody thought it was completely fair. And every owner and every GM, they got to protect who they wanted. No one forced them to take someone off their roster without their consent. They got to protect the players they want. So, in effect, they put players out there that said, look, we don't need you. You may not be a part of our future, including a guy like Nate Schmidt, who, ironically, was part of the Washington Capitals last year. And when the Washington Capitals got to the playoffs, he was a healthy scratch against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So you and I both can agree, I believe, that this revisionist history about it being an unfair setup doesn't hold water.
Oh, I will make no excuses for the success of this team. I will say it was absolutely the people that put the players in place and the players themselves that did that. And, you know, you talked about a lot of things, how this team is built for success. My God, those 2017 draft picks, I can't wait to see Suzuki and Glass play here and some great goalies that are coming up. This is a team built for the long haul, and it's just going to be interesting to see some of the people they keep and let go. I know there's a lot of people hoping that James Neal is one of those people kept around. I just still don't see it happen based on what he is going to command in order to stay. I know he wants to stay, and I know there's a lot of wishful thinking, but we have to also talk about reality, and this team has to change, and that's one of the beautiful things about sports is every year you're going to see a little bit of a different team, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian, and I do think you'll still see, obviously, the vast majority of the team back. I think you'll see about 5 or 6 new faces. I expect George McPhee to be active in the free agency market more than people realize. And you bring up a good point about James Neal. I think the Golden Knights will be able to meet his annual salary demands. The question will become the length of the contract. And that's where James Neal will have a decision to make as to whether or not he wants to stay here and try to build something special or establish, you know, further financial security for himself and his family.
You can follow him at Bernie Fratto. Bernie, appreciate you joining the show. Right before I let you go, I just got to get a quick thought from you on the NBA Finals. Are you at all surprised by what you saw? Second question, is LeBron James a Cleveland Cavalier in 2018-2019?
Well, if you pay attention to the conventional wisdom in the groupthink echo chamber, LeBron could be anywhere from Houston to L.A. to Philadelphia. I think it's a fait accompli. He probably will leave Cleveland, but I still think there's a sliver of chance, 25% chance he does stay. As far as the NBA Finals this year, probably the greatest finals of all time. It was really a thriller. There was like it was in doubt. It was just incredible. And I think that J.R. Smith should be voted a playoff. Poor guy. I mean, I feel bad. I really actually feel sympathy for the guy. And you know, that's my attempt at sarcasm and humor on a Sunday morning, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very exciting series. I will say, and I did say, and I'll stand by, that Game 1 was pretty exciting and definitely eventful, for lack of a better term than that. Bernie Fratto again at Bernie Fratto.
You know, I will say one thing, though, Brian. I do believe this Cavalier team would easily beat Jordan's team to the 90s. But you got to remember, those guys are all in their late 40s now, so I think it would be fair.
He's Bernie Fratto. Bernie, I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, you guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, man. All right, listen, Max, I know we got to fly into that last commercial here real quick, but before we do, and on the way to break, I did get a chance to talk to TJ Oshie, and I don't want you to miss that. This was right after they won the Stanley Cup final on the ice. He had just got done hugging his father, who has late stages of dementia, and it meant a great deal to him. He was a bit emotional, and I loved talking to the guy. I ended up liking him a lot.
Now, TJ, the 2018 Stanley Cup champions, it's just, what does that mean to you?
It means we did it. It means we came together, I think, like we knew we could. And we did it. We did it together from the start to the finish. We didn't have one hero. We had 20 guys night in, night out, and even we had more than that. We had the guys that stepped in for a couple games that when guys were hurt. It's just it's really amazing to do it with this group of guys, and how we did it, I think, is most important.
Yeah, how you did it, to win every series on the road, game sevens on the road. I mean, what does that say about the character in this team and the time you guys have spent together?
Well, we were always asked, what are you missing? What are you missing? Why didn't you win this year? You can't get past Pittsburgh. Before, we couldn't get past Chicago, couldn't get past L.A. And you kind of find out that it really has to be a full team thing. If you have 19 guys, 19 out of 20 guys in, it just doesn't work. Someone has all 20 guys in, and they find a way to get past you. And this time, we just found a way to get everyone on board. Got contributions throughout the entire lineup.
This Vegas Golden Knights team, what a story this has been, to play a team like this in the finals, and it seemed like destiny was on their side, and you guys said, no, it's not.
Yeah, what an amazing story for that team over there. What those guys had to go through, kind of getting let go from their teams. Getting let go from their teams and coming together like this. An amazing story. They put up a good fight here tonight. They really had us on the ropes there for a little. It's really heartwarming to see what they did and what they did for the city, how this city has really crowded around them and supported them. What a tough opponent to beat, and they got a lot to be proud of over there. I know it probably doesn't feel like it right now for them, but they transformed the city into a hockey town, which is overnight, which is words I never thought I would ever say.
The last thing for you, Alex Ovechkin, for you to be able to do this for him and him to be able to do this for the city of Washington, him and his family, what does that word mean?
He takes the brunt of the negativity. When we don't get it done, he takes the brunt of is Alex Ovechkin ever going to do it? And it seems like the rest of us kind of just get off and get to go to our summers and relax when he has to listen to it for a full year. Well, Ovi's having a great year again, but can he get it done in playoffs? Well, I hope everyone's praising him now. Now that he got it done, and he got it done winning the Conn Smythe, a very well-deserved honor. He led us, and that's what you want your captain to do. So.
If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact. Johnny Manziel is back playing professional football for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the Canadian Football League. This just might work and pave a road to his eventual comeback in the NFL. What do you think, man?
I understand that I have a target on my back, and I welcome it. I don't want anything but anybody's best shot every time. If you got to hit me a little bit to make sure you let me know you're there, cool. But I'm coming right back. I'm here, too. I'm getting snaps, under my belt. I'm getting more time on the field. It's all I could really ask for. So, some good, some bad. You take all that, and you move forward, and then you hopefully keep getting better. So, I'm happy with the guys we have here. I'm happy with my teammates and where I'm at in life. So, I'm having fun again. I can say that.
Mags, is this going to be the resurgence of Johnny Manziel?
No, because he's an idiot. And, he's a guy who's always said the right things, but his actions tell me that he's an idiot.
He's the clear definition of actions speak louder than words, correct?
He will fail at some point because he cannot control himself because he's a spoiled, entitled brat. And, do I want to see him do well? I don't want to see anybody fail. But you got to prove it to me. I don't want to hear the talk. I want to see him get his act together. And you know what? Yeah, I'd like to see him go back to the NFL because honestly, it would be a good story. But prove it. Prove it to me. Don't talk. Prove it. Shut up and prove it.
I'm not going to disagree with you. You know, he's one of those guys that just can't get out of his own way. And my guess is he'll step on himself again eventually. Listen, to Las Vegas 51's report on our way out. Las Vegas 51's two more home games today at noon and tomorrow night.
They've got tomorrow night.
Monday Value Night, Mags. It's a great night to go. They're playing the Round Rock Express. Definitely check them out. That is brought to you by the Las Vegas 51's. They are out of this world. I want to thank everyone. Hey, it's time to get out of here. Out of line. We're here every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio. That is 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. Yes, the flagship radio station of the Vegas Golden Knights. Want to thank Mags, Bernie Fratto for joining the show, Nate Schmidt, TJ Oshie. Appreciate all of it. And Shauna for shaving me and helping me out today as well. We will be back next week. See ya.